In a metaphorical sense, do you ever wrestle with God? When's the last time that you wrestled with God over something, and how did it go for you? How did that work out? I want you to consider that as we're going to be looking at passages in Genesis chapter 32 where Jacob wrestles with God. We'll be back in just a second. Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I'm Pastor Roy. We're glad that you're joining us this evening. Today, we're going to look at some passages that come out of Genesis chapter 32. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there with us. If you don't, run and grab one real quick if you have the ability to be able to do that. We'd love to have you with us there in the scriptures. We're going to go over them today. And we're going to look at Jacob as he wrestles with God. So Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to begin reading at verse 22. Genesis chapter 32, we're going to begin reading at verse 22. It says, and he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. Then he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent them over what he had. Verse 24, then Jacob left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. Verse 30, so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle, that shank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle, that shank. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you tonight, we ask and pray that you would, Lord, help open our hearts, help open our minds. Lord, I pray that we would be receptive to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. Lord, I pray that if we find ourselves like Jacob in this passage today, and we find ourselves wrestling with you, that we will give an ear to the Spirit, that the Spirit leads and guides us in the direction. Lord, I pray that most of all, we will surrender unto your will. Lord, help keep us from distractions as we take this time and opportunity to gather around your word. Lord, as always, I ask and pray that as your messenger for these moments, that you would truly send a blessing my way. May I be blessed to be your messenger today, and may the words that come forth be truly from you, rather than from mere man. So Lord, we just ask that you would bless our time as we'll spend it today in your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, I started off asking you, have you ever, in a metaphorical sense, wrestled with God? And most of you know what I'm saying when I say that. There have been times when, you know, God has wanted us to do something and we haven't necessarily wanted to do it, and we will wrestle with that. We use that as a term, that we wrestle with God, or we'll wrestle through certain circumstances and situations. But I also ask you the question that when you did that, last time you did that, how did that work out for you? You know, how did it go over with you wrestling with God? Is that one of those situations where you felt like you were victorious or not? Most of us would probably say, nah, we didn't win that battle at all. Now, in our story today, Jacob wrestles with God all night. Now, I want to remind you, last week we talked about the fact that how Jacob got his name when he and Esau were born, that he was kind of a deceiver and a conniver, and that's exactly what what Jacob stands for, you know, one who is you know, doing things less than above board. So keep that in mind as we look at these passages today. So in today's passages, we find Jacob is wrestling with God all night long. I gave you a hint to something I'm going to ask you a little bit in just a few minutes. Well, I'll just ask it now. Do you think that the man who wrestled all night long with Jacob was possibly the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ? You find that in verses 22 through 24 of our text. And yeah, most scholars believe, as well as I do, that it truly was. I mean, he had an encounter with the Lord, the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, and mainly because of some of the things that we see when it says that he has stood and wrestled with and against. If you look at the latter part of our passage, what he said to him when he gave him the blessing, in verse 30 it says, "So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So there is another hint to the fact of who this man, as the scripture calls it, is that Jacob was wrestling with. So, you got to think he had this contact with him. Now, up to this point, there are ways that Jacob had been wrestling with God in his life. You have to remember that he was one of those that was considered to be one who was deceptive. And if you think about what he did and how he, I don't really want to say that he tricked Esau out of his birthright, but he had designs, and the designs were about him. It was all about me. It wasn't that it was anything, necessarily for God. It was him trying to be a schemer to find ways to better himself rather than to better God. Now, this is what he had been, essentially up to this point. So think about that for a minute. In what ways do you believe that Jacob had been wrestling with God in his life, even prior to this situation? God knew what Jacob was doing. God had seen all these things that were taking place in his life. In the same way, he sees you and I. He knows what's going on. He knows what our heart's intent is when we go and do the things that we do. Now, when a person wrestles with God, why does God sometimes let him or her win? Have you ever considered that? Why is it that God would do that? Could God always win if he wanted to? The answer to that question is absolutely. I think that there are times when what we do is we actually have to allow the Lord, the Lord has to allow us to go down those roads so he can teach us some lessons. When it comes down to it, there are times that God allows us his permissive will rather than his perfect will. So in keeping with that, what we're going to do, he'll say, "I'm going to teach you some lessons along the way with this." So, but God could win if he wanted to every ounce of the way without any problem whatsoever. Now, when the man who wrestled with Jacob did not prevail, that's kind of an interesting passage as well. It says that we're sitting there thinking about it. We're getting this picture in our mind that what happens and what takes place is that Jacob is wrestling with the Lord, and it says that he could not prevail. Now, I would rather say it this way. He allowed Jacob to stay on pace with him. It wasn't that God couldn't win. God could have, in a heartbeat, just like that, with a snap of a finger, ended that confrontation of what was going on. So when the man wrestled with Jacob, and the man wrestling with him that we know as the Lord did not prevail, why do you think that he dislocated Jacob's hip? Look with me, if you would, verse 25 gives us that particular passage. It says, "Now when he saw that he did not prevail," that was the Lord, "against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Now, you get that picture in your mind. Now, it goes a step further. Verse 26, it says, "And he said, this being the Lord, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said," and he being Jacob, "said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" There was some persistence there. And I think that's a persistence that the Lord wants to see in you and I. I think that is a persistence of, no matter what happens, I'm going to hold on to the Lord in regard to these issues. Now, I'm going to read a passage for you out of Hebrews chapter 12. that explains some things about God's discipline. You know, we recall these passages very, very often, but they're in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, and then also verse 11. But this is what it says. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6 says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." And if you go on down to verse 11, it says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful in the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Do you get that? And listen, if the Lord loves you, he's going to come after you. He's not going to let you hide those things in your heart. He's not going to let you be deceptive. He's not going to let you go down paths of sin. Because he loves you, he will chasten you. And what we've learned, he'll discipline us as well. And when it comes down to that chastening and that disciplining, I like that how verse 11 put it. It said, "No chastening seems to be joyful in the present." When you're going through the midst of those things, when you're going through the midst of the discipline process, it's not fun at all. Matter of fact, verse 11 says "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful." It actually says it's a painful situation. "Nevertheless, but however," however you want to join those two thoughts in verse 11 together, it says, "afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So the Lord has plans in all that's taking place. Sometimes he allows us to go down that road simply because we need discipline. We need to learn some things. Just like Jacob learned in this particular passage today, when he left this experience and when he left this encounter with the Lord, he did so different than he was before. Now, let's get back to our passage for a moment. Now, after the man, whom we know based on the scripture is the Lord, after the man dislocated Jacob's hip, why do you think that he continued to let Jacob hold on to him? Yeah, I said just a moment ago that I think that for you and I, when we're in the midst of the correcting and when we're in the midst of the disciplining, there's no better person for us to hold on to than the Lord himself. I don't think that the Lord got upset because Jacob was holding on to him. In fact, I think he was encouraged because he was. And we know what he said. He said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." Yeah. Now, what a great example to follow. Remember, as we do our Bible studies, we've talked about what are some examples for us to follow. Yeah. One of the greatest examples we can follow is hold on to the Lord in the good times, in the bad times, in the times of joy and in the times of disciplining. You hold on to him with every ounce of everything in who you are. Don't let him go. Now, yeah, Jacob made a request of this man in order for him to let him go in verse 26. And we said just a moment ago what it was. He said, "Yeah, let me go. It's daybreak." And Jacob said to him, "I'm not going to let you go until you," what? "Till you bless me." Okay. Do you think that the man, the Lord, was pleased with Jacob's request? I believe he was. Because I believe what he was beginning to realize was that he was getting Jacob's attention. They had wrestled all night long. Jacob must have been stubborn. He didn't want to lose out on the battle, but he was realizing that he was against a superior force and he wasn't going to win. And he began to realize who the Lord was. He began to realize all the deceptive ways of his heart as the Lord revealed them to him. And he realized that he needed a blessing. And the man's response to Jacob was what we read in verses 27 and 28, which is really a little bit unusual. Let's go to verse 27. Verse 27 says this is his response when the man or the Lord said, "You let me go." He said, Jacob said, "I'm not going to do so until you bless me." Here was the answer, verse 27. "So he said to him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God. Again, there's the indicator of who the man in the scripture is that he was struggling with. It says, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. In other words, yeah, you're still here. You're still standing. It's not necessarily that you won, but you learned your lesson. I think that's the biggest takeaway from this particular passage is that he was saying, you have learned the lesson that the Lord wanted you to learn. You have undergone his discipline and you're beginning to see something different. And because of that, now you are going to be a new man. No longer will you be called Jacob. Remember, the deceiver. Yeah, no longer will you be called, you know, the one who is out there for himself, but you will be called Israel. And what do we know about Israel? Israel was God's chosen people. Yeah, in other words, you are going to be blessed as I would bless Israel. So that was the reason for the name change. And as particularly over the past month, we've really been talking about the significance of names as we've gone through our study in the passages of the Old Testament. Now, yeah, in what ways had Jacob, as verse 29 reveals to it, had striven with God and prevailed? You know, in other words, he was there. He wasn't gonna let go. That's what he was talking about. Now, also, you know, if no one is able to withstand God, because some people would sit back at this passage and say, well, you mean Jacob out wrestled God and Jacob won the contest? Well, he won because he was allowed to win. But let's look at some passages for just a moment in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I want you to think about this. If no one is able to withstand God, why do you think Jacob was able to wrestle with God and quote unquote prevail? Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6. And that tells us this. It says, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Now, we know how powerful God is. We know that if God lost this confrontation with Jacob, it wasn't that he lost. It was simply because he allowed him to, and the reason that he did so was that along the way he might be disciplined, and that there would be a learning process along the way, so that he might learn some things. And the same thing is happening in your life. The same thing is happening in my life. When we come under those under the disciplines of the Lord, what's taking place? Are we wrestling? Yeah, I say that again as a metaphorical type thing, but are we wrestling with God over certain circumstances and situations in our heart and in our lives? Now, as this story goes, it may be a little confusing to you. In just a moment, I'm going to wrap it up, put a nice little bow on it, and you're going to know exactly, what this story is really all about. Okay, I want to ask you right now, is there a time in your life when God disciplined you out of the love that he had for you? You know, sometimes we look at it and we say, well, God doesn't love me, or God's not there. But you know what? As a parent, what a great illustration between parent and children. You know, we discipline our children so that they won't wind up being hated by society, so that they will be kind and that they will be representative of the Father. You know, and sometimes we have to be disciplined. Sometimes that it takes that discipline to get us on the straight and narrow, to get us on the right track. You know, we might discipline our children because we told them, don't go out there and play in the street. And then they disobey you. They go out there and play in the street. And then there's some discipline. You know, whatever your brand of discipline is, like I said, mine was getting the Board of Education applied to the seat of my learning. Some may use a timeout. Some may use some other form of discipline. They may withhold things that the child loves for a certain period of time. But that's discipline. Now, the child doesn't necessarily look at it at that point, but your overriding reason for why you have done what you've done for the disciplinary action is so that you can keep your child safe, to keep them out of the road so that they don't find themselves in danger or death come upon them. Sometimes the children don't understand that, but yet we as the adults do. Now, when we consider that and correlate that with what God does in our lives, there are times that we don't understand or know what is for our best. And there are times when we're stubborn. Yet some of you have had strong-willed children, and you know exactly what that's like. We can be stubborn, but let me tell you something. Sometimes God is going to break our will. Plain and simple. He is going to win the battle. He doesn't just throw his hands up and say, okay, do whatever you want to do. You know, go your own way. You know, he's going to get his point across. So, man, what a great example for us to follow, some things for us to learn from. Now, have you ever wrestled with God in prayer and refused to let go of him until he answered your request? I mean, think about, usually it's one of the most moving things in your life or one of the most desperate times in your life when you've gone to God in prayer and you said, I am not letting you go until I get an answer. I am going to be persistent no matter what happens and no matter what takes place. I am going to not let you go, Lord. So you better get used to seeing me around here because I'm going to be in your face the whole time. Okay. Now, as we consider our story today of Jacob wrestling with the Lord, you know, I just want to kind of sum it up for you so it doesn't sound like it's in bits and pieces and fragments, but the same things hold true to you and I. It is when we get alone with God that good things begin to happen. You remember, he'd sent his family away. He got alone with God. So it's when we get alone with God that good things begin to happen. You know, Christ came to wrestle with Jacob, and the struggling lasted all night. Now, you know, keep in mind that Jacob was not wrestling at this point to get a blessing from God, but rather he was defending himself and he was refusing to yield. He was still trying to hold on to the old Jacob, the who he was, the deceiver, the conniver. Okay. You know, the Lord wanted to break Jacob and bring him to a place where he would honestly say, not I, but Christ. Now, the Lord's still trying to do that for you and I today. It's not about me. Not I, but Christ. All night long, Jacob defended himself and he refused to surrender or even admit that he had sinned. Then God weakened Jacob, okay? You know, and the wrestler could only do one thing. The only thing that he could do when, you know, when he touched that hip and put it out of joint, the only thing he could do was cling to the master. Sometimes God has to get us to the point where the only thing that we can do is cling to the master. Yeah. Now, instead of scheming for a blessing or bargaining for a blessing, he asked God for the blessing, and he received it. You know, now I'm not trying. Remember what he did? He kind of hoodooed his brother out of his birthright, and all along the way, he was that person who was going to be coming up with schemes to try to get the blessing. This time, he simply asked God for the blessing, and he received it. You see, you know, we don't truly see ourselves until we first see the Lord. You know, what is your name? Verse 27, he asked him, what is your name? You know, that was the question that forced Jacob to confess his true self, to confess who he was. Yes, who am I? I am Jacob. I am the schemer. You know, you'll never get to where God wants you to be until you first realize where you are. You'll never become what he wants you to become unless you can first drop the sin in your life. Yeah, Jacob finally had to come to himself and he finally had to confess who he really was. I am Jacob. I am the schemer. Just as what my name represents, that's who I am. Once he faced himself and once he confessed his sin, Jacob could be changed. It wasn't until that point that he could be changed. Okay? Think about that. Consider it. God gave him a new name, Israel. What does Israel mean? Prince with God, or a God-governed man. That's far from being a schemer and a conniver, isn't it? Yeah. The way to have power with God is to be broken by God. We don't like to hear that, do we? You know, for us to be powerful in God, we must first be broken by him. Yeah. God also gave Jacob a new beginning and a new power as he began walking in the Spirit as opposed to walking in the flesh. How's your walk today? Are you walking in the spirit or are you walking in the flesh? You see, he had been broken by God, but his limp was a mark of power, not of weakness. I mean, you can consider that. It says as he walked away from that situation, he did so with a limp, something to remind him of that day. But it wasn't a sign of weakness. It was a sign of power. And then as we close this chapter out, verse 31 gives us an indicator that the dawn was breaking. But it wasn't just the dawn of a new day. The sun also rose, and as Jacob limped out to meet Esau, he did so this time with God's help. Now the question is, are we finding ourselves in the same sort of situation as Jacob? Do we keep trying to scheme and come up with some manipulative way to get God to come over to our way of thinking? Or are we to the point where we have allowed God to break us? If we allow full surrender to take over, that we might be exactly what God wants us to be. And folks, in doing so, that's not a sign of weakness. That is a sign of tremendous strength. So this week, what we need to do is that we need to pray for one another to have faith and to have courage to hold on to God, just like Jacob did, to hold on to him in prayer until our prayers are answered. Now, once again, that's meaning that we're praying the prayers correctly, that we're truly asking God's will be done on earth as he has it prescribed in heaven. Because remember, you can also pray amiss according to the word of God. But are we persistent? Are we going to God and saying, no matter what, I am not going to let go of you? We're going to have that prayer here in just a moment. But let me, for right now, just go ahead and give you what our Bible readings for this week are. This week, we're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 34 through Genesis chapter 39. Once again, Genesis chapter 34 through Genesis chapter 39. And next week, we're going to discuss Joseph and Potiphar's wife out of the book of Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 23. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we end our Bible study for this Wednesday evening. Father, as we come to you, Lord, we cry out to you. We confess too many times we've tried to hide who our real self is, or we've tried to hide who we are. And Lord, we can't hide it from you. Sometimes you have to break us. Sometimes we have to find ourselves in the situation like Jacob. And Lord, I pray that we would take the good qualities of that wrestling match between you and Jacob. Lord, the good qualities being that we're going to hold on to you no matter what. But Lord, help us to get rid of the bad qualities. Help us to cooperate with the pruning. Help us, Lord, to understand that you want to break that stubborn, sinful, ill spirit and will that is within us, and you want to give us a new name. You want to bring us into the glory of your presence. And Lord, help us to cooperate with that as we go forward. Lord, we ask that you give us the faith and the courage to hold on to you in prayer and in our circumstance until our prayers are answered to your honor and to your glory. So Lord, as we go away from this week, I pray that you will truly help us to evaluate who we are in the midst of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to listen. Help us to give in where correction is needed in our lives, that we might truly cooperate with your pruning, that we might bring forth fruit, not only fruit, that we would bring forth much fruit. Give us a great week, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, guys, I'll see you Sunday at Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina.